Up Radio Show with Jackie Wayans. Inspiration through word and song for you.
Well, hello, everybody. It is Jackie Wayans, and it is a brand new, wonderful new year that I'm very happy and excited to enjoy with you. This is going to be the type of year that has so many great and wonderful and new things attached to it. One of the new things is the introduction song for Don't Give Up Radio. Kay Anthony Fowler was on the show earlier, or at this point later last year, and he introduced a wonderful song called Don't Give Up, and I decided, you know, this is going to be it. This is going to be the song that's going to take us through 2016. Happy New Year. May the Lord bless you and keep you and be with you in all your ways. He is so awesome and so wonderful, and he's got great things in store for you. And if you're listening tonight, maybe for the first time because you heard about the topic and you want to know what exactly is she going to be talking about, we're going to get into it. All right, we are going to definitely begin to scratch the surface on this topic. For the month of January, for the most part, we will be discussing finances and getting ourselves together that way. But when February comes, we're going to really hone in on the issue of relationships in a deeper way and in a way that I look forward to be healing and wonderful and great. So don't give up. Don't give up radio. You know, I always started it with this emphasis, with this belief that we should not give up, that we should continue to fight, that we should continue to endure. And that is absolutely the truth. We want to be able to do that. That is how we were created. That's how we were built. A lot of times it feels like we were not built that way, and that the easiest thing to do is to give up and to throw in the towel. But that's when I'm reminded of the verse that really started this show for me, and that was Ephesians 6 and 9. So let us not get tired of doing good or grow weary in well-doing, if it's an older version. But let us not get tired in doing what is good. And at just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we do not give up. I am coming out with this ebook next week on the 12th, and it's called Don't Give Up and Win, A Survival Guide to Renewed Virginity. And so here's the issue. Renewed virginity, what exactly am I talking about? Well, for those of you who have been listening to the show, I have talked to you about Don't Give Up and Win, and I've talked to you about where that comes from. I was married for about 10 years, and it was difficult. It was strenuous. There were a lot of things we faced. There was health issues and layoffs and just poor decision-making, and we both loved the Lord. We both were committed to something that was just really not working, and we put our best into it until it was literally wearing away at our livelihood. So we found ourselves, and I found myself, in a place where I had to live my life as a single once again. And that was never my intention. When I said I do, I meant to say I do forever, and to know and to believe that that would absolutely take, it would absolutely hold. And many of us may find ourselves, it might be that it was a divorce, it could be separation, it could be illness, it could be that, you know, your former spouse is deceased. But this book is really geared to people who have already been attached to someone, already in an interdependent relationship. Now, whether it was healthy or unhealthy, good or bad, is another story. But the reality is you have already been in that world. And here you are, you find yourself completely set aside, completely separate once again. And I've got to say that that feeling, that singleness, is very different than the original singleness. And I found that our society has been negligent in acknowledging that. And so what I wanted to do was lend a voice, acknowledging that we are here, and saying, listen, this is what I went through. This is how difficult it was for me. This is how I found my way out. And here's some tips for you. Now, this is a guide. It is not an extensive, in-depth book. I really will look at the feedback and see what I'm getting. And if people want that, I'll definitely provide that, because I believe it's really been an unspoken issue with this particular population of ours. You know, no one expects to go through many years of being single and alone. I have been single and celibate for 15 years. Some of you might listen and hear that number and think, oh my goodness, let me turn this off right now. Don't do that. Don't do that. What I'm trying to express is that we all have our journeys, and we all have our healing to go through, and we all have our place of renewal to get to. And in looking at this topic, the issue is, how can we get to a point of wholeness? So just giving you a little bit more about my backstory, I think as you've listened to the show over the years, or even if you're new to this, you could get the sense that, oh, she's got it all together. She just breathes through this, and that's not life. That's not reality. The reality is, I went through bitterness. I went through resentment. I went through denial. I went through every kind of emotion you could imagine before I came to the place of peace that I'm in. Now, here's the thing. Even being in a place of peace and being in a place of contentment, it doesn't mean that you no longer desire to have a partner or someone to share your life with, and very specifically in this area that we're talking about, to have physical sexual intimacy with someone, right? It's not saying that, but it means all the fighting and all the resistance that gets lived out in so many ways. You finally get to a place where the renewal comes in for me, because we want to be healthy. We want to be whole. We want good relationships moving forward. And so it's my firm belief that until we can get to a place where we've actually allowed renewal in this area to come into our lives, instead of just, you know, fighting against the fact that we don't have an intimate partner anymore, right? In all the ways that is true, in your mind, in your soul, in your physical body, spiritually. Instead of resisting that and fighting against that you come to a place where you own who you are, and you allow that renewal, that refreshing, to come over you again. Okay, you're like, Jackie, what kind of premise do you have for this, right? So I think of John 3 to 5, the epistle of John, from chapter 3, 3 to 5. And what's beautiful there is that you have this born-again phrase. This born-again phrase is very interesting, and what has happened even recently with the hit TV show by TV One called Born Again Virgin. It is this understanding, a catchphrase that has kind of twisted the mind to kind of think differently about what it means to start over, what it means to start afresh, and to start new. And so there are those who have challenged that phrase by saying, well, there's no way that you cannot renew your virginity. Once it's gone, it's gone. There's nothing you can do about it. But that's not completely true, because I often quote on this show Romans 10, 9 and 10. You know, if you confess with your mouth Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. The beauty of that verse is that that's where you enter into communion and relationship with the God who created you and has a purpose for you. The one who gave his life for you because he loved you enough to believe in the hero that's inside of you. And so when you accept that love, and when you come into that relationship, that is the first great intimate relationship that we have. And we are able to communicate with him the good, the bad, and the ugly, so to speak. And we do. We're very real with the Lord, so much so that we're, you know, waving our fists at him, especially if you're walking this walk of abstinence for any length of time. And so this phrase, born again, renewal, that whole concept, right, is first looked at in John 3. Because here you have Jesus saying, you know, truly, truly, I say unto you, unless a man is born again, he can't even begin to see the kingdom of God. He can't even begin to see it, much less understand it, right? And the person he was saying this to, his name was Nicodemus, and he basically said, well, you know, how can a man be born when he's already old? You know, you're already mature. Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus really answered him, and he said, truly, truly, I say unto you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot even enter the kingdom of God. And so I use this as a premise to kind of explain what I'm talking about. This renewal is a process, and I found my start, the beginning of this, by actually being extremely honest with the Lord about things. I went through the phases, as I said, of bitterness, where, you know, why was this my plight? You know, what did I do wrong? What did I do to cause this? You also are dealing with society at the same time. So there's resentment because you look at all the couples around you that look like they're happy, and you have to deal with these holidays that come around that seem to be just everything about family and love, and that you're the only one on the outskirts. You feel so incredibly isolated. And so it's something that lives with you day and night, every day of the year, but at certain times they're even more heightened. Unless you are able to navigate that, which the book guides you through and helps you through, you wind up in a place where you're absolutely unable to step into the very thing that you want. Your very prayers are actually working against you because you're holding on to all of these things that are actually saying, I'm not ready to move forward. I'm not ready to embrace someone and have them in my life. And so there's a peace and a wholeness that we have to get through first. And so that's what this book is designed to do. And I'll tell you more about the intimacy and the chapters about it and what's going on, but I never intended to write this type of a book. But the Lord really did tell me that there were people out there that needed to know that they were not alone. They needed to know that they don't have to feel awkward because they're not the typical single, and that there is hope for you. And the key here is that you don't let go. Never let go of the Lord. Never let go of his promises. He promises so many great things. And I know it can be difficult to hear certain cliches, even if they're true. I promise you this is not that. I promise you what I've done is open up my heart and open up my experience to share with you and to help you to feel what I felt, what others have felt. By the way, I'm not the only contributor. I'm very fortunate to have Casey Wyness, who's been on the show, who's now Dr. Casey Wyness. She shares a little bit from a holistic point of view and gives you things to think about of how you can manage just from a physical standpoint. Relationship coach Stefan LeBoussier comes in, and he talks about it from his own personal life choice. And so here he is, he's a relationship coach, and he's also standing strongly and firmly by his own lifestyle opinions. It's awesome. Billy Dorsey, who is, you know, you guys know him as Grammy winner, producer, singer, you know, he shared his journey. And so it helps you to understand that this is not just Jackie's story. There are many of us out there, and I think we've been too silent for too long, giving the impression that there isn't anyone else out there. There aren't people who are for the many people who are coming up out and saying, you know, I'm not going to do this anymore. I don't believe that just having multiple sexual partners is the way for me to find my happiness, my peace, and my joy. I want something real and sustaining. And taking sex off the table allows for that clarity. But what this book is about is, okay, now that you've taken it off the table and you don't know how long it's going to be, how do you renew yourself? How do you become complete and whole in this decision that you've made? And so, like I said, the first thing you want to do is not to let go of that decision.
Oh, no.
Trust him at his word. Be strong. It's never too hard for God. You have to focus and trust and trust. And so the focus of tonight's show is my new book, my new ebook that's going to release on Tuesday. It's going to be available on Amazon as a digital release. And so it doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be a Kindle. As long as it's digital, any mobile device, any phone, it will be able to download on there. And so it is called Don't Give Up and Win, A Survival Guide to Renewed Virginity. And the show, Don't Give Up, it's Don't Give Up. And I've added the and win part because I realized that when you think don't give up, it is motivational in itself, but it can keep you in a certain plane of always toiling away, always just working and struggling and climbing up this peak without ever reaching the precipice, without ever getting to the top. And so the goal of not giving up is so that you win. It's so that you reach the goal, the desire, the place that you were designed to be. And so it was very important for me to add that on there, Don't Give Up and Win, A Survival Guide to Renewed Virginity. So we're talking about that, right? So virgin, what does that word mean? You know, I was a virgin when I got married, technically, quote, end quote, right? And I discuss in the book more about that. But, you know, I've had one partner and that's it. And so when you talk about someone who is a virgin, you're talking about someone who is not sexually active until marriage, basically, right? And so when we're talking about this idea of renewal, a renewed virginity, it means that you are once again in this position of living in a virginal state, basically, until the time comes when you have found that person that you are willing to walk through life with as your forever partner, as your spouse, and at that time you would consummate that union, you would become one again. And so in the process of waiting, there should be opportunity for renewal as well. So let's go into some of the topics that the book provides. You know, I cover the issue of naysayers. I talk about naysayers and the establishments that are built into our society before I even talk about making the decision, because I believe that we want to look very carefully at what is our reality. And the reality is, you would think that if you have made a decision to abstain until marriage, that there would be a certain amount of support. Sometimes there is. Most of the time, there isn't, right? Because there are people who may want that for themselves, but they just don't feel they have the courage to do it. There are people that it's so foreign in their mindset and their thought pattern that it seems outrageous for you to even think about it, and so therefore you're discouraged to do so. But I talk about some uncommon naysayers as well. You know, if you're making this decision and you are actually someone who's already, you know, in the church or a professing believer, you would expect to have support. You would expect to have encouragement. But what tends to happen is kind of like the example that I give when a little kid like myself came home from school with their test scores, you know, and if you got a failing grade in my house, that meant you got a spanking, all right? A really juicy spanking. And if I came home the following week with 100 because I wasn't getting that spanking again, right? And you came home and you're so proud and you're showing that 100 that you've gotten, not only a 100, but a 100 with a little bonus points next to it and the smiley face from the teacher. You guys know what I'm talking about. And so here you are and you're so proud and you get no response whatsoever. It's just a flat line. That's so discouraging. But what you're told is, well, this is what you're supposed to do. So why should I jump up and down and applaud you? You are only doing what you are supposed to be doing. There's no need to applaud you, right? And so when it comes to this issue, I find that you get the same thing, especially with those who expect that would be the way you live your life, that they expect that's the way you would walk things out. And so where there's quick for judgment and ridicule, there's very little opportunity for praise and encouragement, for going the distance, for making it a month, making it 6 months, making it a year, making it 2 years, right? And I'm not talking about throwing celebrations, right? But there's an acknowledgement. And unless someone has actually walked through something themselves, they may be able to sympathize with you, but the reality is they won't be able to empathize with you. Empathy is when someone has actually experienced either that thing or something close enough to it that they can say, you know what, I really do understand this challenge. I understand what you have accomplished, and I'm going to find a way to support you. I'm going to find a way to. So that is what I want to bring to the table. That's one of the things I hope to do, and that's what that chapter helps to identify various types of naysayers, and I'm sure there are even more, but these are the ones that I experienced, and I know that, it would be great to just tease that out and to bring that out, to share that with you. There's also the chapter there, establishments and institutions. And when we hear that, we might immediately think, oh, religion, oh, churches. And while that's a part of it, that's not the only type of system and institution that we are connected to that can really determine the success or failure of how well we're able to maintain our abstinence. You know, there's so many parts of our life that we don't even realize that those structures are embedded there. You know, there's the girls' night out. There's the guys playing basketball together, or, you know, playing some kind of sport together. And what is the after conversation? What is the side conversation? You know, that little banter that you could laugh off or just go along with before, but now it's going to be slightly different. And how are you going to modify yourself in order to adapt to these institutions that are not going to change, right? If you're a part of a fraternity or a sorority, these are things to think about because you have to make the decision for yourself. But be mindful that there is a society that we live in, and everyone always targets the media and we always target the church. But what about some of those more nuanced ones to just think about it? I just put the nugget in there for you to think about how society plays a role in our success of walking this out. And if you don't plan for it, you're not going to be able to successfully endure it, right? And then I talk about making the decision and the type of commitment that's needed for making the decision. What does making the decision to stay celibate, to stay abstinent, no matter what? That's the key, right? I didn't know back in 2001, right? I had no idea that it would have been a 15-year journey for me, right? And it wasn't in my intention to raise my three kids. I didn't see that. I didn't think it was possible. I remember telling the Lord that I didn't think it was possible. But not only did he know best, there are a lot of things that I let get in my way to slow my own process. And so sometimes we get in our own way. And so it's very good. And I share that with you. I'm pretty open about sharing with you my thoughts and some of my struggles. There are many other chapters, but two that are very close to my heart is Easy Until It's Difficult, and When You Cry Alone. Easy Until It's Difficult, and When You Cry Alone. So let me explain that, and I guarantee you that if there are people listening to me right now who have been abstinent for any period of time, you kind of already have a good idea of what I'm talking about. You know, Easy Until It's Hard is the fact that there are some days that you are so good. It's easy breezy. It's like I get up, I go to work, I take care of the kids, I do what I need to do, I'm on my grind, I'm focused, everything's good. And then there's some days that you wake up and you're like, what on earth happened between when I closed my eyes and woke up this morning? It's like, hello, is this the same brain? Is this the same body? You feel betrayed almost. And it's in those moments that it's so extremely challenging, because it's not until it's not okay, it's not until it's completely difficult and mind-boggling that you feel like you're going to crumble, that you feel like you are going to give up, that you are going to throw in the towel, that you're just not even going to make it through the next, like, 15 minutes, much more the whole entire day, much more a lifestyle of this. Are you kidding me? Right? And so that chapter really kind of brings it out, that feeling is not uncommon. And what I want people to hear from this guide is that as much as you feel alone and as much as you may feel isolated, that you're not. That there's so many of us, every one of us, that has taken this commitment, who's made this decision, have days that are absolutely beyond unbearable. And those are the days that people making light of your journey, people making light of the amount of time that you've already committed and given, people picking at other areas of your life that might be not in order, right? It just makes it harder, makes it more difficult. But guess what? Our lives and our decision and our fate is not in the hands of other people. So now how do you take that back? Because you are going to have those days, but you can't live there. You can't stay in that moment, right? You can't stay in that place and space and time. You're going to have to move out of that. And when you cry alone is the next step, right? After you have those difficult days, and let's say you're successful that day, you still have to face the next day. Because the reality is, physiologically, we all have time clocks. We all have certain weeks or days out of a month that are just more difficult than others. It's a reality. It's not a hit or miss. You can expect that it's going to happen. But now, I remember a dear brother who had lost his wife to cancer many years ago, and he was sharing just standing in the shower crying, because it was the only safe place to cry, because the shower spray, as it hit his face, it just kind of melted in with his tears. And I know I've done that. The bathroom was my safe place. That was the place that I could go and hit my head against the wall. It was the only place that the three kids wouldn't follow me. what happens when you cry alone? What happens in the midnight hour when there's no one there? And how can you recover from that? Because the whole goal of all of this is renewal. Because we want to live a colorful, renewed life. A colorful, renewed life. I've told this story, and time is going so quickly, but I want to be able to share this before I play the next song and we go into our next intro. There was this time, and it does absolutely connect. Just bear with me for a moment here. There was this time and season where I was attending Columbia University in New York City here, and I woke up one morning. The money that I had all depleted. My new check was not coming in until the next day. However, my MetroCard, the transportation card for our train system here, had already expired. So here I am, no money, no MetroCard. I need to get to school. I had a major exam that day. I need to get to classes. My kids were covered. They had their MetroCard, and I had two in junior high school and one in elementary. It was also pouring cats and dogs outside. I walked them to the train station, and I let them go through, and I said, listen, here's the thing. Mommy does not have a MetroCard. Girls, you take your brother to school, and then you guys go on, and I will pick you up later. Had no idea at the time how I would do that. I was definitely speaking faith, but what I did know, that I was going to walk from my house in the Bronx to my class in Harlem, in Manhattan, in another borough, and I knew that that walk would take me about 2.5 hours in the pouring rain. And I did it. I got there, and I walked through the doors, and I got there on time. But that journey was a painful one. At least it started out painful, because you say all these negative things to yourself. You say, you know, gosh, I'm such a failure. Why can't I budget properly? Don't I have multiple streams of income? You know, I was in this situation 5 years ago. Why am I still here now? And so every step was almost like a painful memory and reliving of everything that I thought I was doing incorrectly. But a major switch happened when I got to the base of the hill where, and if anyone's familiar with Columbia University in New York City, it's on a hill, right? So I was at the base of the hill on 125th in Amsterdam, and I had to walk up the hill to the crosswalk for campus. And that's where the decision is, guys. That's where it comes down to. Because after walking 2.5 hours, as tired and exhausted as I was, I did not want to take another step to go up that hill. But I certainly was not going to turn around and walk back home. That was not an option. And so now with every step that I took to go up that hill, I realized that I was stronger than I was 5 years ago, that all the things I was telling myself of who I was wasn't true. I wasn't a Columbia, you know, student before. And I started to remind myself, you know, you weren't working before. You weren't doing this before. And it started to come back with every step who I really was and what I was able to achieve and what I was able to do. And I walked into class. I got there on time. High five me and Jesus. Amen. And yes, I was exhausted from the journey, but I won that day. I won. And so 15 years has been extremely difficult and hard with a lot of people who don't understand, you know, what you're going through and how hard the days are. Imagine going through a day like that and not having someone to call. I'm also an only child, right? So not having someone else to call, not having someone shoulder to cry on. And it's easy to say, well, you know, I'm married and I don't have that sometimes, but that's the issue of choice, the issue of each of us having our own burdens and cross to bear, but there's something where there just isn't even the opportunity or the choice there. But I was so thankful to God because he's always with us. So you have to keep your head up. If you're headed to the top, if you're headed to your goal, keep your head up. It doesn't matter what the rain or what the challenge is. Once you've made this decision, don't stop. Go all the way.
Yeah. I'm heading to the top.
I'm gonna head into the top.
Ooh, yeah.
I'm gonna head into the top.
Barbed wire.
I'm gonna head into the top.
Life is like a boxing match. You gotta get ready for them blows. With my head up, my feet firm, I'm moving forward to claim the prize that I've been training for. Success might not be an overnight experience. You will be falling, but keep on fighting. Even if you have to hold on to the ropes, remember you be heading to the top. I'm heading to the top, no looking back. Heading to the top, no one can stop. Heading to the top to claim my prize, cause I've been waiting way too long. I'm heading to the top, no looking back. Heading to the top, no one can stop. Heading to the top to claim my prize, cause I've been waiting way too long.
I got my pants on, shirt on my back, shoot. Lace my back in stress. Move, 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 move out of my way. Cause I can't wait for another day. Hey, who you think you're talking to? That I won't reach my destination. Yeah, are you my determination? What do you know about my struggle? Cause I'm heading,
heading to the top, no looking back. Heading to the top, no one can stop. Heading to the top to claim my prize. Cause I've been waiting too long. I'm heading to the top, no looking back. Heading to the top, no one can stop. Heading to the top to claim my prize. Cause I've been waiting too long. I gotta keep on fighting, fighting to the end. I gotta keep on fighting.
Get me down.
They won't.
You're listening to Don't Give Up Radio. I'm your host, Jackie Wayans, and that was K. Anthony Fowler. And that was Heading to the Top. That's where we're all heading, no matter what it is that you've decided is your focus and your goal. And as I said earlier, you know, you can't get there successfully and at your absolute best without God's hand in your hand. And I'm so thankful that I made that step, because even with my missteps, even with the things that I feel like I didn't do right, He has made it all right. I never thought that I would write a book like this. And I never thought that anything positive could have come out of 15 years of abstinence. But what I have learned, what I've had to break through, I'm able to share with you. And there is, you know, even so much more that I'm not even able to cover here. You know, our time is going so quickly, and I want to give you some simple takeaway tips for those of you who are listening and tuned in and said, but, you know, I want some practical things right now to think about between now and Tuesday when the books hit Amazon and you can download it and get your e-copy on the 12th. And so I'm going to offer that for you. I want you to be able to have some practicalities. But, you know, I talk about the M word, right, the issue of masturbation. I talk about, you know, just difficulties of how you wake up in the morning and you feel like your body's betrayed you. And what do you do about that in that moment in time? And one of the things that I'm going to do as well with the book, for those who want it, I'm going to offer 6 weeks, but it will cover elements in depth that I talked about in the chapter, and we'll work as a group together every week for 6 weeks so that you can have a base, that you can have a core to what you're doing, and that you can go through it successfully, that they can be a support system for you, because that is the one thing that I did not have. There was no support network for me, because, you know, the reality is, as I said before, you're either kind of put in a lump sum like, oh, well, you could just come to singles group. We're having a single session. Or, well, you know, you could go to the marriage group because you're going to get married again sometime. So you could just hang out over there. And neither fit. And it's hard to explain that to people unless you're in it. I remember feeling like I was punched in the stomach when I went to the doctor's office, and you know that form that we all fill out, and it asks a very simple question: who is your emergency contact? And it was that moment that I realized I didn't have one anymore, right? You know, and something that simple helps you to realize that you are not just a regular single anymore. You know, you can't necessarily put your parents down anymore. Your kids may not be old enough where you put them down. And yes, it's a great idea. You can put down a pastor or a dear friend or a reliable person. It's not that there may be no one for you to put down, but the reality is it hits you in that moment that there really isn't someone that you actually belong to that you can put their name down and know without a shadow of doubt that they're going to be there because they are yours and you're theirs. You know, and those kind of things that just kind of hit you out of nowhere. So here we are. Some of the things to think about, right? One, once you've made this decision, as this song just played by K. Anthony, Heading to the Top, there's no turning back. There's no turning back. What are you turning back towards? That's the question you have to ask yourself. If there was something strong enough to drive you to make this commitment, what is it to turn back for? So compromising your standards because it looks like it's lasting longer than you would like it to last never works. Doesn't work. You're not going to end up in the relationship you want with the person you want, feeling about yourself the way you want. So the compromising is something that you just need to take off the table. If you're going to make the decision, make it and be committed to it, and then develop the support systems that you're going to need to make it last and to make it successful. And so that's one thing to remember. I also suggest that you don't put a lot of stock in the words of people who never walked out abstinence or celibacy for themselves. Okay, the words are fairly interchangeable. The reality is, as I said before, there's a certain level of empathy, but there's also real life skill and experience that I have and that others who have gone through this have that they can tell you. They can also see something in your eyes or on your face, hear a tone in your voice. They know when you're playing the game, right? When you're just trying to get around the corner a little bit so that you can have a little taste of X, Y, or Z. No, those are the people that you want to be accountable to. But there are also very well-intentioned, very well-meaning people who love you, who love God, but they just don't know how to counsel you through this. That may even include an actual counselor, right? Because we use that word very loosely, and very few people have the courage to say, I'm going to go to a sex therapist or, a psychologist and speak on this issue. And I talk about that. I talk about what you should look for and take stock from people who've actually walked it out themselves, because they're the ones who's they're going to be able to be balanced with you. They're going to know when you're trying to cut corners, and they're also going to know when they need to support you. All right, so no compromising. Take it off the table and listen to people who have done it successfully themselves. All right, then there's the issue of choosing healing over hate. Choosing healing over hate. The reality is, as I said, I could have stayed in that place of bitterness and resentment and just be foul and angry and not go to people's weddings and talk back. It's a process. We go through processing, but you don't stay there. You have to yield that over, because it's not going to allow you to be renewed. It's not going to get you to the state where you need to be, where you're whole within yourself and where you can have that colorful life that you want to have. And for me, I found that prayer and the Word of God was an absolutely key and a strong foundation for me to be able to get through. Casey Winans shares some other specific and detailed things that she does on a daily basis. But the bottom line here is, yes, it is easier to quit than it is to stay passionate and focused on your end goal. But you have to decide, I believe that you're a winner. I believe that you can achieve this and you can do this. And so it's my intention to share my journey and to offer that support with and for you. Now, I must be clear that this book is very specific to how you manage these days of being abstinent, right? And it doesn't really cover issues with dating. I myself need guidance on that, right? And I'm looking forward to The Weight, which is by Devon Franklin and Megan Good. I admire their journey, and you know, he was celibate for 12 years. And as a man, I think that is awesome. It's a wonderful testimony. I'm sure he has a lot of things that he can share, as well as Megan, in terms of the dating process and what is that. What's that like? So February 2nd, The Weight's going to come out. And if you want information and guidance on dating to get that right relationship in, again, in line with abstinence, right, in line with holding and saving yourself for the one, I would definitely keep an eye out for that book. It's coming later on in the year, in February 2nd to be exact. And my book will be available on Amazon on Tuesday the 12th. It's only going to be $7.99. Like what? Okay. It's only going to be $7.99. And who knows, I might throw in a sale or two for you. I'm thinking about it. But that's pretty reasonable. You can't complain with that. And I just started listening to a wonderful lady called Real Talk Kim. And one of the things she says is, you are not pitiful, you are powerful. And I want you to resonate with that idea. You are not pitiful, you are powerful. Don't let society try to tell you that because you've chosen this route that you are pitiful. You are absolutely not. You are powerful, you are strong, and you are capable. And so if you want to know what the link is going to be and all that jazz, all you have to do is follow me on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. I'm on all of it. If you go to Facebook, it's Jackie Wayans, or Don't Give Up Radio. Don't Give Up Radio. You can't miss it. All right, Twitter, I'm Jackie Wayans. Jackie, for me, is J-A-C-Q-U-I-E. Wayans, like the Wayans brothers, W-A-Y-A-N-S, Jackie Wayans. That's my Twitter handle and my Instagram handle. Okay, so follow me there. I'm already starting to post information, and once the link is live, I will let you know. And as I said, the rest of this month, we're going to cover finances. So starting next week, we're going to talk to women specifically in finance, okay? And then we're going to grow it out, and we're going to incorporate our brothers, and we're going to look to get that financial piece together. I know that my buddy Braxton Cosby, he's doing the health challenge. You can look Braxton up also on Facebook and get involved with that. And this is the time where people are getting renewed. But what I'm going to do is start the course that I mentioned to you right at the end of January, because that's about when we start to waver and think that we can't do what we said we can do. And I want you to know that you can do it. The greatest hero of all said that you were worth it when he gave his life for you. You are a winner. You were created to do great and wonderful things. And so all you have to do is believe that and hold on to that. So until next week, God bless. Hey.
Put you.